Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura at the 17th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament at Westwood Country Club here as the Browns getting together with their corporate partners, raising a lot of money to support youth and education here in Northeast Ohio. Matt Wilhelm in Berea, one of the guys who always looks forward to this event, a fine golfer and also a fine sack master, Paul Krueger, talked with Andrew Gribble earlier today. Here's what he had to say.
All right, Paul, every player we talk to always mentions you in the breath of the best golfer on the team. Have you always been this good at golf, or what? How has that come about?
Well, I don't know if it's just because I live on a course or I was talking myself up one day. I'm not sure, but I'm okay. I like to get out there and have a good time. I know there's a lot of good players on the team, but it's good to be mentioned up there in the top couple.
What's it like to be out here to kind of cap OTAs this way and kind of be involved with the Cleveland Browns Foundation?
Yeah, it's a special thing. It really is. I feel like we just have a really tightly knit unit of guys, coaches, players, and organization all as one. And it feels good to have, a good cause to get behind and everybody be able to support together. And I think today was a good example of how, when we all come together and stand behind our organization, a lot of special things can happen.
And for you, is that kind of a symbolic of what you guys have been doing these last few weeks at OTAs?
Absolutely. We've been out there really working our craft and putting a lot of effort and emotion into it. And I feel like that's really been what's created a lot of good buzz, a lot of good energy, is just how much emotion guys are and coaches and players alike. And I think people are just excited. And when you get to get out there at practice and really put forth your all you got, it feels good as a unit to do it, to see everybody putting forth that effort.
We've heard a couple mentions now, most recently from owner Jimmy Haslam, about this Tuesday practice, about how intense it was. What was that? Did it not even feel like an OTA out there for like that?
Yeah, it's I think Coach Jackson and his staff, defensive, offensive guys, everybody is just really we're focused on winning, and it's a daily thought process. So it's not something where, okay, in 3 months, we got to get our minds right. It's like today we're getting better to win a game. And that's just the mentality we're approaching every practice, every meeting, and every situation with. And I think it's going to pay dividends for us.
What's your group of players looking like now that you guys have added Ogba into that group, and just what you've seen on the field these last few weeks?
Yeah, I think as a outside linebacker group, not only do we have a lot of I think they've just given us a good group of guys, well-rounded guys. So there's guys that are extremely good in coverage, can also play the pass and rush the passer, can also play the run. And then there's guys that are really good at pass rushing and really good at, finding ways to get to the quarterback and the running back, but then they can also drop into coverage. So it's just, I think they've created a well-rounded group of guys that are going to be able to, be effective. And Coach Horton and his surrounding coaches are just doing a great job of getting us prepared mentally. So I'm excited. Ogba is just, he's a really explosive guy, ton of power. So he's a very talented young man. I'm excited to see him grow in this system and see what he can do.
Is there anything about this defense that has surprised you so far?
Not necessarily. This is Coach Horton and his system's been here, my first year here, and so it's very similar. I think he's added a few new wrinkles in there, but the way he prepares us and the intelligence that's behind the whole system and the whole mentality that we have, I'm just really impressed by it and behind it wholeheartedly, and so it's exciting to be on this page right now.
Yeah, what is the one thing you want to accomplish at the mini camp, which is kind of that and culmination of all off-season workouts, and then you got a big break after that?
Yeah, I think a few things come to mind. Is just one, developing the right environment and understanding as a team and however I can be a part of that, put my effort into that, into creating the mentality, the mindset, and then two, just getting in shape, understanding the playbook from as in-depth as possible. And I think just, creating a – I think that's the biggest thing right now, and that's what that's what Coach Jackson's done such a good job of, is just creating an environment that's a culture of winning, and a standard that, you know, people have to really work and strive to reach. And so I think we're on a good, I think we're on the right track for that, and I'm excited about it.
For you personally, any plans on what to, how to spend the time between mini camp and training camp?
Yeah, we got a few little things planned. My wife and I are actually planning a honeymoon, belated honeymoon, anniversary type thing. So maybe Hawaii, I'm not sure. But yeah, going to just try to relax downtime a little bit, but also maintain a good training schedule and stay in shape.
That's Browns linebacker Paul Kruger, guy who certainly likes to play small ball, but also likes to get after the quarterback. And Matt, some interesting talk there on the room and the guys in there. And I think he is, what's so clear is how excited he is to come to work every day and what Hugh Jackson and Ray Horton have done for him. Because I think he was a guy last year, and, you know, it's got to be hard when you were as successful as Paul Kruger has been. You've won a Super Bowl. You've signed your big contract. You come here, you have a double-digit sack season. And then all of a sudden, the same coaches who saw how effective you could be in certain situations said, this year we're not going to do that. You're going to drop, and we're not going to even play you all the downs, and you're not going to get after the quarterback. And I think he was a guy last year that was frustrated is a fair word.
Yes.
And to hear the excitement that he has at this stage in his career to come and want to go through OTAs, I mean, you just don't hear that from veterans. So he's almost a guy that you feel like is reborn this year.
No, most definitely, Nathan. And I think, you know, what I hear from Paul is, and you kind of framed it properly, it's he knows not only he's excited about what he could potentially do in this scheme, you know, and in this system. As we all know, originally, you know, signing here with Ray Horton being, you know, the Cleveland Browns defensive coordinator. But I think what's so reassuring and positive for him amongst the other guys that make up this defense and now offense is what they're doing or what they're trying to accomplish is very clear. You know, if I gave you one thing to do, you know, all you have to worry about is that one thing. If I give you three things to do, you have to be concerned with three things. And I think that's the simplification of this defense and the definition and communication by these coaches to Paul Kruger and the guys that make up this defense is what I'm so encouraged about. And I'll, you know, kind of hang my hat on the fact that I'm most excited to see Ray Horton and Hugh Jackson call these football games and let the chips fall where they may. Maybe Paul Kruger goes for 5 sacks and Orchard goes for 10. Or Ogba goes for 12 and Kruger goes for 8. I don't really care where their production comes from, because as Ray Horton sat in our studio and said, it is proven to be successful and it will do the same here. Now, those moving parts, which are the players, who gets the interception? I don't care. As long as we're getting them. Whoever gets the sacks, as long as we're producing them, as long as we're keeping people from scoring touchdowns in the red zone, that's all that matters, because that is the recipe for winning.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you said that. I was talking with Pierre Desir earlier, a guy, one of my favorite guys on the team, and I was talking about playing safety, and he's like, you know, it's cool playing safety. You get a different perspective, and it's helping me be a better corner because I know what the safeties are supposed to be thinking and doing behind me. And he said about this defense, similar to what you just said, is he's like, we're going to get a lot of interceptions. This defense said, I don't know who's going to get them, but we're going to get a lot of interceptions in this defense. And, you know, for a player, how important is it to know that coaches are putting you as a team in positions to be successful? And how much, you know, especially as a veteran guy like Paul, does it mean to know that the coaches are listening to you, valuing your input, and trying to make sure that they put you in positions to do what it is that you do best, as opposed to say, look, this is my defense, this is how you have to play?
Well, I think it's huge. And I remember going back throughout the coaching process, and then soon after Hugh Jackson was hired, communication in general from the head coach to the assistant coaches and to the players was one of my, you know, intangible must-have attributes, because, and I think you've heard it from the assistant coaches, you've heard it from, you know, I heard it from Chris Tabor about how clear Hugh Jackson is with what he wants, and I'm sure that the staff takes on that attribute from Hugh Jackson, and so the players know exactly what they want. There's no, well, maybe it's, no, it's this. Go do it and go execute it.
Right.
As I said, it's been proven, and all you have to do, and I hate to say it, is are you ever going to get in trouble, you know, if you listen to your parents and teachers? Probably not. You know, Jim Tressel always used to say nothing good happens after 10 o'clock. If you're in your house or in your and in bed by 10 o'clock or in your house, probably small chance.
I would
chance.
Beg to differ, by the way, Jim Tressel.
But I meant there's a slim chance anything bad's going to happen to you. You know.
Sure.
When do you see most arrests? When do you see most? There's not a lot of day drinking going on. It's all 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, at 11:15. You know, the cops were called here. So all those things fall in line,
yes.
And I think that the communication from Hugh Jackson on what he expects, both from his coaches and his players, is a number one on my list because it means they're falling in line with the leader. And right now, without seeing the players play, I trust in what Hugh Jackson is doing.
Yeah, and you know, it's great today. He said to them, look, you guys get 4 days off before this mandatory mini camp, and they were a little sluggish on Tuesday after the morning. He said, hey, it better not happen again. And I don't know, there was a joke that was made, as I know Tuesday wasn't open to the media, but I think Hugh got upset and put them through the ringer on Tuesday after the way that they started practice, because Jimmy Haslam made a joke about how that he was sure they were happy to be out here instead of having to do what Hugh Jackson put them through on Tuesday. And he said, right, Tremont? Tremont Williams sitting in the front. Tremont said, uh-huh. So Hugh Jackson, I think, made the message, and I think I like that he's doing that. He's saying, you guys had this time off. You came back, and it wasn't up to our standard last time. You have this time off again. You better come back and be ready to go at our standard this time, or you're not going to get such luxuries again in the future. So I like that, and I agree with you. I think he knows how to relate to these players, and you could tell how excited they are. We've heard from a KG vet. Now we're going to hear from one of the newest members of the Cleveland Browns, third-round pick Carl Nassib out of Penn State. He will be up next on CBD. Nathan Zagura out of Westwood Country Club, site of the 17th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament today. Players, alumni, legends, coaches, all out here contributing, as well as the corporate partners of the Cleveland Browns, out here to help advance education and youth here in Northeast Ohio. And great day, perfect for the golf. Makes me jealous. I don't know if it's the allergies or the fact that I'm so close to golf and not being able to golf that's bringing a tear to my eye at this moment, but there's a tear there. I can say that. Matt Wilhelm back to Berea, holding it down indoors, not even near the golf course.
No.
Or the sun, although I'm not out in the sun either, Matt Wilhelm, just FYI.
But you have that opportunity.
The only thing that we've got going for us. Yeah, but I'm not moving. Gibbs is. The magnetism of Jason Gibbs keeps me right in my seat.
Okay.
I will say the only advantage we have.
Lazy today.
The only advantage we have right now is that we were able to just send a couple of lovely ladies off to get some pulled pork and brisket for us.
I'm good with that.
I came to the course and had
a quick turkey sandwich, but I'm like lunchless right now, so I'm like chomping at the bit to go eat somewhere.
Is anybody even in Berea?
There are. Yeah, there's a few people. Yeah, some the equipment staff. There's
business
a few
still
individuals.
Is happening, my friend.
Yeah, there is.
Okay. All right. Good. Well,
maintenance.
I want you to feel like you were
Sarah Kornikovich is in the building.
An island unto yourself.
No.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because a lot of people went back. The guys who were here with
after
the dog
11
days.
After 11 o'clock.
Yes.
If you weren't golfing, you were off the clock.
You were off the clock. You're free.
Yes.
Free. Well, one guy today who was out here, I don't believe he golfed, but was here earlier today, Brown's third-round pick, the leading sack getter in all of college football last year, Carl Nassib, spoke with our Sir Andrew Gribble.
All right, Carl, first off, what was it like just getting here with the entire team in an event like this so early in your career for kind of like a bonding experience and community event for this?
You know, I'm really, really excited to be here. This is my first community event with the Cleveland Browns, and I'm excited to, you know, contribute to the Browns Foundation and to the Give 10.
What have you kind of learned about the kind of importance that the Browns put on this kind of stuff?
Coach Jackson was very adamant about this whole trip, and he was really excited, and he cares a lot about it, and that, you know, trickles down all of us, and we're really excited to be here, and we care a lot about it too.
So just kind of run us through what the last month has been like for you with the Browns and kind of just getting involved with everything in the NFL.
It's been a whirlwind. It's been really, really fun, a lot of hard work, a lot of meetings, you know, practice is great, and just a lot of learning.
What have you learned about maybe your potential role on this team so far?
I'm just willing and ready to do anything that they ask of me at this point, and I'm just putting my head down and going to work.
And what have you learned kind of about the teammates that you're surrounded by in the defensive line room? What's that room been like for the experience for you?
Yeah, the D-line room's great. You got a bunch of great guys, you know, funny, really funny guys. And, you know, we play around, but, you know, when push comes to shove, we get the work done. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
There was the thing that a lot of players have talked about is the energy level at OTAs. I mean, what has it been like out there and kind of the competitive level that you guys have been able to establish?
Yeah, it's much different than college. It's much more high tempo, much more competitive, and that's just OTA. So I'm excited to see what camp's all about too.
And the thing that Coach talked about a lot was just the conditioning level you guys would need to get in to be at this level. What have you found out about the conditioning that it takes to play in the NFL?
Yeah, you got to be in top conditioning all year round, and it's something that every rookie needs to transition to. But it's something that you have to learn, I guess.
The last, basically, since the end of your college career, it's kind of been nonstop for you. How have you kind of been able to kind of maintain the calm, I guess, and stay ready?
I sleep a lot. I take a lot of naps. I think I'm really skilled at falling asleep whenever I want to. I just like pass out. So that's just kind of the way I keep my energy levels up. I'm a sloth. I sleep whenever I'm not playing football. So I sleep, eat, and play football.
And what do you expect at kind of the big mini camp next week? What do you guys will be able to do there?
I hope that we have a really clean mini camp. We've been installing a lot of defenses. I hope that we get through the entire camp. We play fast and we don't make any mistakes. That'd be really good.
And what's Ray Horton been like as a defensive coordinator for you guys?
Coach Horton was a little intimidating first, I have to say honestly. But as I've gotten to know him, he's, you know, really nice guy, incredibly smart, and. I'm really excited to, you know, play for him.
Have you gotten to work much with Joe Kim and kind of learn on the pass rushing techniques and things like that so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Kim is probably one of the most positive guys I've ever been around. When I first met him, I was a little confused as to why this person was so positive, but that's just the way he is. And he's so smart. He has got so many techniques that I've never heard of. So you know, it's a really good privilege to learn from him.
What can that do for your game, I guess, as a pass rusher?
Hopefully a lot. You know, I expected to, you know, take my game to the next level, and I'm really, really fortunate that he's here in Cleveland.
And what do you have kind of planned once this mini camp wraps up and you got time to unwind before your first training camp?
I'm only going to go home for about 6 days. I was home for a while after, you know, I was home for like 3 or 4 weeks a couple months ago. So I'm going to go home for a week, go to the beach, and then come back a few weeks before training camp actually starts.
Was there anything different about the NFL so far than maybe what your brother told you about or anything like that?
No, everything that he told me is pretty spot on. And he told me staying awake in meetings is probably going to be the hardest part. And, you know, that is definitely held true. So.
All right, that's Browns rookie Carl Nassib. When we come back, we're very happy to be joined on site here by the Vice President of the Cleveland Browns Foundation, Renee Harvey. She'll join us to talk about all the great work that the foundation is doing, why this day is so important, and what she thinks so far of today's golf tournament and event. I can tell you, I'm jealous just sitting here of everything that's happening around me. There's golf, there's food, and there's the ability to just feel good that you're doing something wonderful for the youth of Northeast Ohio. So we're going to talk with Renee Harvey about all of that and more right after this. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura live at the 17th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament at Westwood Country Club. A ton of fun out here today. A perfect day for golf, and you're seeing Browns players, coaches, alums all mixing in with the partners in what is really a day about raising money for the Cleveland Browns Foundation, which is supporting youth and education here in Northeast Ohio, and a woman who's very responsible for everything going on today and all the great work that the foundation does. The vice president of the Cleveland Browns Foundation, Renee Harvey, joining me now. Renee, first of all, good to see you.
Great to see you.
The event is well underway. I think you can exhale a little bit. It seems to be a great success. But why is this event so important to what you guys do?
This event is our longest standing event. This is our 17th annual event. This has raised $2.8 million leading into today in its history. So one of our core fundraising sources, revenue sources for the foundation, 100% of what's raised today goes right back into the community to many of our great foundation partners, as you said, that support and do work in education and youth development in Northeast Ohio.
And you've already raised 2.8, and as Jimmy Haslam said earlier today, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, along with Dee Haslam, they said that they matched that and then some. So
yes,
even
did.
A bigger number already for the Cleveland Browns Foundation here and the youth. And talk about some of the core programs that the Cleveland Browns Foundation is responsible for in terms of helping the youth and the education here in Northeast Ohio.
Sure. So I think one of the programs that's a little bit newer is our partnership with the Cleveland Metropolitan School District. We partnered with them this last year on their Get to School, You Can Make It campaign, which is attendance for school, or for students rather, and really proud through the effort of the school district, many grassroots partners, as well as our support, that we were able to get over 2,300 additional students on track with their attendance.
Wow.
As you know, that's very connected to their grades, their test scores, and even their graduation rate. So the ability to do that work with the district was really impactful for us. We also work with Shoes and Clothes for Kids, and on the youth development side, we have our Adapted Football League program, which is an exceptional program, and very happy that we'll be heading into our sixth year with Achievement Centers for Children on that program as well.
And for the people that were able to be here today, you got to see a great video on that and see just what an impact it has on some of these kids to be able to be on a football team. And there was talking, one particular young man was talking about getting to play under the lights at a game at 8 o'clock, and what a big deal and how special that was to him.
It is. And even to the parents and the families, you know, they oftentimes they'll tell us that they didn't expect to have those experiences with their child, to be able to sit on the sideline and cheer for their child and have them participate on a team like so many of us take for granted that we're able to do and to do for our children. So really, it's an exceptional program. It's one that is really special to us and all of the volunteers. It's about a one-to-one ratio on the volunteers, so tremendous volunteer support. It's a really great program for the kids and their families.
And how neat was it for you when you have this event and you have a new head coach, and you never know what a coach is going to be like, and you know they could be completely just focused on football, but to have someone like Hugh Jackson who comes in and says, this is so important to me, we're taking a day off for practice, and not just the, you know, 30 or so guys that are golfing are going to be here, but literally every player on the Cleveland Browns was here, those playing in their polos, those not in their orange Browns uniforms with Give 10 on the shoulder, which I haven't seen a Give 10 jersey before, but I saw them today. Just how gratifying is that for you, and how helpful and impressive is it to have a head coach so committed to the community side of what you do, and he's only, you know, been here for half of a year?
Well, I have to say I'm not surprised, given Dee and Jimmy's investment in the community and how important that is to them. I'm not surprised that they had a coach who fell in line with that as well. Really pleased and impressed with Coach Jackson that he would make this a team event. And I think what we were able to do is really demonstrate and invite a lot of our foundation partners and the kids that participate in the programs out here to interact with the players and the coaches. The coaches are extremely busy, so to have them out here too is really special. And we heard from multiple coaches that it was really great for them to see their guys out in the community and interacting with the kids, that they don't get many opportunities to do that. So I think the kids had a blast. We're hearing great things from a lot of the teachers.
And that was called the Dog Pound Days. Is that
what
it was?
Dog Pound Games.
So what was the Dog Pound Games? I mean, all of a sudden you just saw a mass of kids and Browns players in orange jerseys.
We did. We had 90, between 90 players and coaches alone, and then an additional 150 kids from our foundation partners.
Wow.
They rotated between a couple of different sections. We had a water balloon toss. We had hula hoops. We had a football toss, football stations, mini drills, duck, duck, goose even.
I saw some duck. It looked like a pretty intense game of duck, duck, goose as well.
So, yeah, but memories that those kids will never, ever forget, catching passes from Joe Hayden and RG3, just absolutely a special day for them.
And Danny Shelton looked like the biggest kid of all out there,
yes,
running around having a great time out there.
So that was, a big smile.
Yeah, that was very good to see. One of the programs that, you know, I got to do the voiceover for the video, so
yes,
it re-familiarizes me with everything that's going on. But the Sparkle Effect cheerleaders, and I remember last year we had them in studio during the Foundation Radiothon, and just what a cool program that is, and how much confidence you guys are helping, not only the education but really the confidence of a lot of young people here in Ohio.
It's really special, and I think, you know, Sparkle Effect is another new program for us. Last year we had Lakewood High School as our first Sparkle team, and this year we're funding two more teams in Northeast Ohio. So North Ridgeville and Westlake will be joining the ranks with us. So that program is unique in the fact that it takes a varsity cheerleading team, and it becomes an inclusive cheerleading team. So when a school can see that their cheerleaders are accepting and welcoming of that demographic, it really has a ripple effect throughout the school, and
yeah,
there's a cultural change within the school building is really what we're hearing, which is fantastic.
What's your favorite part of your job?
Oh, boy. Oh, that's a really great question.
Well, thank
you. Love being... I love being able to hear what challenges our partners have and finding solutions for them, finding ways in which we can help that may be beyond the dollars and beyond some of the things that we can do that come front of mind.
What's been the most rewarding individual kind of program experience that you've had so far?
I would say the work that we've done with Walton School. That's our investment school through United Way.
And we're going to have someone from Walton School speaking later today.
Yes, the principal for that school.
Yeah.
I think the work that we've done with Walton School has really given us a behind-the-scenes look at what happens in a school building, the real challenges that they have day-to-day, the real issues that they have. And they've really embraced us as a true partner, and we feel like we're an extension of their staff, and it's been very rewarding. Is special to be part of.
So for the people who are listening right now and they say, wow, I didn't realize that the Browns were doing so much good, and the unbelievable commitment of the Haslams and really everybody involved in the organization to this community and giving back, how can people get involved? You know, obviously you can come and play in this golf tournament. That's a great way to do it, and you can get a lot of perks for that, but how
sure
can people get involved with the Cleveland Browns Foundation otherwise?
So a few different ways. You mentioned First and 10 earlier through our community relations department, but encouraging everyone to give 10 hours of service every year. I think that's a way that we all can get involved in whatever is we're passionate about in our local community. So I think that's one way to join our team that way. The second way would be to participate in our 50-50 raffle on game days. Certainly, we are a public foundation, so we do generate those public dollars. As you mentioned, Dee and Jimmy are matching, and the Browns will be matching those funds. So every dollar we raise obviously goes much, much further.
And let me just say, as you know, being on the sideline at the games and looking at the scoreboard, those 50-50 raffles, you were able to walk away with a little bit of cheese last
year. Absolutely.
But there were a couple games where it was the person took home north of $20,000, I
yes,
think.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so
it's not a bad game, right?
No, that could be season tickets for a few years.
Right. So, yeah, a few different ways that that folks can get involved, and we certainly want the support and want everyone to join, because there's a lot of work to be done in Cleveland and Northeast Ohio.
Well, congratulations on a great event, and I know there's still much more to come, including the live auction and the wrap-up of the silent auction, which is going to be very exciting and continue to raise money for the Cleveland Browns Foundation. Renee, thanks so much for the time and
for
putting this on and all you do in the community.
Thank you. Appreciate your support.
What? It's your birthday today?
Oh, gosh. Thanks, Jace. Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
27?
29.
29? Okay,
yeah,
excellent. 29. Well, happy birthday, Renee.
Thank you.
Who was so kind as to plan such a massive event on your birthday?
I have no idea.
Well, you're the vice president. We'll find out. Yes, heads will roll. Renee, thank you so much for being here. Enjoy your birthday and enjoy the successful event that you put on here today for the Browns Foundation.
Appreciate it. Thanks again for your support.
All right, you got it. When we come back, we'll have our final thoughts here on CBD live from the 17th annual Renee Harvey birthday edition of the Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the 17th Annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament. Nice talk with Renee Harvey. Wilhelm, I was wish you were here to be a participant in that, but fine lady,
yeah,
on
too.
Her birthday out here putting on the biggest event of the year.
Yeah, and it's
admire that.
It's a unique once-a-year thing. That's probably why she gave up what most people will call their day, their opportunity to be pampered and spoiled. But this is her time to shine, you know. So I'm sure that there's maybe no other better place to be than to see through a lot of planning on a day like today.
Absolutely. Her one shining moment is here as we wrap up our radio show and the foundation tournament wraps up. By the way, I got to say this. Andy Lee hits a golf ball nicely. Austin Davis pummeled the ball right in front of us a few seconds ago.
Yeah.
He swings a nice stick as well. It's fun to see all these guys out here, though. The Legends having a good time. Hanford Dixon having a good time out here. Jim Brown as well. And
it was amazing Jim Brown could hit the golf ball as well as he did.
He could still hit it.
He crushed it off of the tee box right next to us.
As he goes to put the tee in the ground and all that.
He does it himself.
Yeah, you're not expecting much at that point. And then all of a sudden, he gets youthful in the midst of his golf swing.
It's like Barkley, except it ends up going somewhere.
Yes.
Much better than Barkley's swing.
No, but I meant like Barkley's, you get bad swing, bad result. With Jim Brown, it might look not like much, and then eventually it just flies off the club face.
No, it's actually a pretty smooth move through the ball for the greatest of all time in the football world. But such
I noticed
nice,
the Crow, by the way, was not playing this year. You had some words.
So I go up to Crow. You remember Crow last year, Wilhelm?
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah, with the denim with the Scully and like the Gucci belt.
He was wearing jeans. He had a beanie on. He had a skull cap on. And I believe he said that was the first time he'd ever touched a golf club in his life was that day.
I agree. I think
and
that
as
is
you
true.
Can imagine, as we all know, those of us who play golf, it's a hard game when you play golf all the time. So you can only imagine if you've never played. And he had a tough time. So he came in and he was in the jersey. So I knew he wasn't playing. I was like, oh, everybody's going to be devastated. I'm like, you're not playing this year? And he was like, oh, man, don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. I can't be out there again. So I think it was his first and only taste with the game of golf.
That's all right.
Which is a beautiful game.
It is.
And, hey, Lay, he's here to run the football.
That's right. It's all matters.
We don't want him hurt.
No.
He's at my most questionable position.
This is true.
Should we remind everybody? Fontana, were you weren't around. So, Fontana. Matt Fontana on the board with us today as Gibbs out here with me.
Yes.
We ranked the Browns' offensive positions in terms of what position you're the most confident in to not the least confident, but we just went from most confident on down, five, you know, one through five.
Sure.
And Gibbs is known as, like, the show-me state. He's like Missouri. He needs to see things. Hype doesn't do anything for him. College production doesn't do anything for him. None of these things matter. He wants to see it. He needs to see it in the NFL, in a Browns uniform, with his own eyes before he believes in anything. So of all the positions on the Cleveland Browns team on offense this year, Matt, which would you, and I know you're both, Matt, I'm talking Fontana since Wilhelm knows the answer to this, what position do you think Jason Gibbs, the show-me state, would have the most confidence in on the offensive side of the ball headed into this season?
The one for Gibbs? Ooh.
Yeah, so this is a guy –
I would say offensive line.
Okay, that is not correct. What position, just based on the criteria I laid out, he needs to see it. He doesn't believe in hype. He needs production that he's seen and can feel. What position would you say on the offense he would be the least confident about?
Running backs. Did I fail
Fontana,
this epically?
You're as bad at this game. You're as bad at this game as Gibbs is against the Stets. We have two running backs, Fontana, who have played in the NFL and been successful.
I'm worried about the depth.
What position do we have no – what position do we not have guys who have yet really played in the NFL?
Wide receiver.
Which would lead to you not having confidence in that group, right?
If you use Gibbs' normal criteria
– That's what Fontana, threw me off.
Fontana, this is
Gibbs' criteria is – throwing me off here.
Right, so basically
this is why I went with that though. I went with that because the position can only get better.
I saw that big putt over there
from Anheuser-Busch.
Big putt.
The Sankar family from Buffalo Wild Wings, Grandzier is here from the Clevelander.
Yes, that's a fun group there.
That group is feeling no pain. They might not be scoring well, but they are drinking well. 27 under.
Yeah.
That's how you're supposed to play in a scramble.
Yes, the cameras will be coming handy for those ones there. But anyway, I just want to say, Fontana, you are as bad at this game as Gibbs is at Guess the Stats. So we play Guess the Stats with Gibbs.
I said what I said because at the end of the day, that position's only going to get better. So I'm not overly concerned about that position.
It's so bad it can't get any worse.
You
got
to be able to find two of those guys. Yeah, you got to find two guys in that group that can play.
To eat some more of your sandwich.
I had to put that last bite in, sorry.
Goodness, what? Wilhelm, we've lost control. I've lost control.
Well, good thing we've got three and a half minutes left, right, Fontana?
Yes, three and a half minutes.
It is a good thing. So, Matt, let's talk about you get a day off of practice today to go play golf. Good thing, right? Or to play or help the kids here in the dog pound games, as we heard about that. And then you get 4 days off and you come back to work on Tuesday for the final 3 days before you get the big break in the summer before training camp. What has to be the mindset of this team for those 3 days?
The mindset is as I've said all along, should have hopefully been laid out by Hugh Jackson with an expectation with them, you know, not having to be in this building for the next 4 days. I also would not be surprised if, you know, some of the young players and even some of the vets who are maybe nursing an injury and just want to come in and get an extra treatment, a little bit of run, a little lift tomorrow because of the bonus day. Because what you guys have to take into account that, yes, they will chomp at the bit for any little bit of freedom. These guys also are professionals, and they want to have their body in shape so that they don't struggle or regress at all over that four-day break. And I wouldn't be surprised if, again, Monday, if there's a speckling of guys who come in and just spend an hour or two in the building. Some of it is to be seen. Some of it is to put in a little bit of work so that when you come in Tuesday, you know, you didn't dive into, you know, a little bit of freedom and have too much fun so you can still have and meet the expectations set forth by Hugh Jackson.
Yes, they do. They got to come in. It's the last opportunity to get in there and get that work before the big summer break. And I think this year we can all safely say there will be less distractions over the summer than there have been in years past, which will be a very, very good thing for this Cleveland Browns team. Again, as you heard from Renee Harvey earlier, the vice president of the Cleveland Browns Foundation, if you want to get involved with the Browns Foundation, you can go to Give10 and get involved in your community. You could also make financial contributions, and obviously every dollar that comes into the Browns Foundation is matched and then some by the Haslam family, so you know that your money will go and go a long, long way. And of course, you come to the games, get involved in those 50-50 raffles, which support the foundation and are a pretty good way, by the way, to turn a little bit of cheddar into a whole lot of cheese if you happen to hit that big winning number. Last year, I remember somewhere were north of 20,000 people were walking out of there with from those Browns games in that 50-50
round. Only thing that sucks about that is having to report it to your taxes.
That's
the only thing that stinks about winning.
Tax man. Well, not my friend right now.
Wilhelm, what are you doing tomorrow? It's your day off.
No, dude, it is field day. It is field day at Bassett Elementary, so all the grades will partake in field day. And I have given the green light to the principal and my wife to volunteer to be a part of the dunk tank. So I'll be getting dunked tomorrow by the students at Bassett Elementary there in Westlake to raise money for the
Vanessa
PTA.
Take a picture.
Oh, there'll be a picture, and it'll be on
when
Facebook.
You go into the dunk tank.
So Mr. Sanfilippo, the principal, and myself are the two volunteers to raise money for the Westlake Bassett PTA. So we're going to be getting dunked tomorrow.
What time are you going in?
Oh, dude, it might be all day.
What time are you getting dunked?
9 a.m. 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
What a fine man. Matt Wilhelm. Go out there and support him if you're in the area.
I was going to say, I'll just
volunteer. Yeah, it's $2 for one throw, five for three.
Okay, there it is. The prices have been set. We want to thank Carl Nassib, Christian Kirksey, Paul Kruger, of course, head coach Hugh Jackson, Renee Harvey, the Haslams as well for putting on this great event, for everybody for listening. And we appreciate you being with us. So for Jason Gibbs, Matt Fontana, and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.